Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we feature a discussion with Peter DeRape, the president of the Gaming Standards Association, about the 20th anniversary of the organization and what has been accomplished during that time. The GGB Podcast is brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing service for land-based and online casinos in North America. Years ago, the formation of the Gaming Standards Association was an innocuous event that had a huge impact on the gaming industry. The GSA rapidly began setting technical standards for the industry that proved to be profitable for operators and manufacturers alike. Peter DeRape was there at the beginning and remains the GSA president today. He spoke with me in Las Vegas in February to talk about the 20th anniversary of one of the industry's most important organizations. Peter DeRape, thanks for joining us on the podcast today. It's good to see you. We haven't talked in quite a while and officially here, so it's nice that we can get together.
Thanks, Roger. Thanks for welcoming me.
So since we haven't talked in a while, let's go back to the beginning and talk about the formation of the Gaming Standards Association. What was the strategy behind it and what have your results been over the past, what has it been,
20 years? The organization was created in California as a nonprofit organization in 1998, officially. Mm-hmm. In 1997, we informally met with about five companies on behalf of John Akers at the time, who had patents with respect to bonusing. And obviously, the only way that he could promulgate these patents and this technology was through some kind of a standard that would be agreed to by the industry.
Sure.
It shifted quickly then to the creation of the exchange of information data standards.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Like, as you know, predominantly was SaaS. We wanted to come up with something that's more open, more flexible, that's architected for the future, and we did that. That was the 1998 when we got founded. The organization went through some changes as we attracted the attention of some of the larger operators. Mm-hmm. I'm talking Park Place, Charlie. I'm talking about Craig from Mandalay Bay. I'm talking John Bausch and Bruce from Caesars, and they realized very quickly that it would be a significant benefit if we come up with an open standard that would enable everybody to exchange data.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So moving forward, I mean, it was a challenging road. Operators joined us. So the company left us, company came back to it, intellectual property became an issue, antitrust laws, all the things you have to do in an organization to make sure that people feel comfortable in participating. And I think we did that. It's not been an easy road. I'm incredibly grateful for all those engineers and especially those companies at the beginning and today that support us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we created a significant number of standards to variety of success.
Right.
But do not ever forget that the mission of the organization is trying to help the industry.
Sure,
the mission
right.
of the organization is not to become an innovator and go out there and find out what the industry needs.
Right.
If the industry needs a solution or identify a problem, they come to GSA and say,
sure.
hey, can you solve this for us?
Right,
and we
right.
will do that.
Yep. Well, I know it was the operators that really were the genesis behind this. I remember in the early days, you had to have the 2 and 3 wire things to connect your slot machines because they were all talking different languages, and that was really the reason that they wanted to get this stuff started. And what was the reaction to the manufacturers when they came to them and said, "Hey, we need one standard"?
Well, it was a challenge.
Yeah.
I mean, don't forget, this is a very small industry with a few suppliers. Well, they're now even fewer than they were at the time. Actually,
the
landscape, in hindsight, looked a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
But the operators wanted that. And when we moved from a manufacturers association to the Gaming Standard Association, meaning where the operators, which are part of the industry domain, could participate at, obviously that was a big shift.
Sure.
Everybody needed to start feeling comfortable. We did that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that takes time.
Right.
5 years plus time. We produced the standards and the architecture. Initially, it was Bob. I don't know if you remember that, Best
mm-hmm.
of Breed,
right.
which was demonstrated at the gaming show at the time.
Sure.
And that evolved into the G2S, the game to system, which was a mm-hmm. combination of Bob and SuperSAS.
Right.
And the industry decided, okay, let's create a single standard. Now, Don't forget, creating these kind of standards with these kind of technologies in a gaming industry that's very heavily regulated, you know, it takes time. Mm-hmm. And it takes time from multiple levels, including resources.
Sure, right.
You might not have the right resources mm-hmm. to deal with the XMLs and the Ethernet standards. Right. You don't have the right hardware. Hardware needed to be redeveloped and mm-hmm. redesigned and approved. I mean, these are cycles of multiple years.
Right.
Once that was done, we got finished probably about 2007 when mm-hmm. G2S was first released as an open communication standard. I think the value we created at the time and the flexibility, I mean, if operators would only understand, I think they would circle back around, but some operators then left.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very unfortunate.
Right.
Really is unfortunate because we all understand that if customers want something, they demand that things mm-hmm. happen.
Right.
If you don't do that, well, then you have to buy whatever's on the shelves.
Sure, right.
And that is what happened in this industry for, mm-hmm. for now, even 20 years later, right. almost. At least in the United States. Canada is a bit different, and Europe and the rest of the world. I've got examples where things changed.
Sure, right. So you mentioned the legal problems. Whenever, you know, a group of manufacturers or a group of operators get together, you know, you've got the antitrust implications. So I guess you have some lawyers on your board as well.
Yeah, well, we're not on our board, but we have, GSA has lawyers on retention. Yeah, mm-hmm. we worked with the same company, Howard & Howard, now for 19 years, 20 mm-hmm. years. And indeed, these foundational issues, we all had to learn that. We
sure.
all had to learn what to say during the beginning of board meetings, what mm-hmm. to say at the beginning of committee meetings. We had to entrust confidential information. We had to make sure the data is properly backed up. All these kind of elements you grow into.
Mm-hmm.
We've dealt with all of that stuff.
Right.
Intellectual property became rather convoluted,
mm-hmm.
I must admit. We started with the ANSI policy. I still hope sure, that maybe right. one day we can go back. To the ANSI policy. And the fundamental reason for an ANSI policy is that because it opens the door for ISO. ANSO is the American National Standard Setting Organization mm-hmm. Institute based in Washington. And ISO is the international one. I believe they're based in Switzerland. And the whole idea was to create truly ANSI/ISO standards.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose of that would be any government official or jurisdiction would be very comfortable prescribing
right.
an ISO standard. Nobody
sure.
would say no.
Right.
But GSA standard feels like it's a proprietary standard. Mm-hmm. It was never meant to be like that.
Right. Okay, great. So you mentioned Europe, and you recently started GSA Europe. That's just a couple of years old, right?
That's actually last year.
Okay.
It's taken us a year to work through the mechanism mm-hmm. or the legal issues as to how to establish it, where to establish it, you know, what the policies. I mean, there was a challenge, I must admit. And then the law in that country changed. We chose the country Malta, and the country was simply chosen because the large number of online gaming
right.
presence that's in there, as you
right.
very well know,
mm-hmm.
they had very clear regulations for the online gaming, which mm-hmm. is important for us.
Right.
They spoke English, which was a benefit, and they were less expensive than some of the other English-speaking countries
right.
in Europe. And therefore, we decided, okay, we pick Malta.
Sure.
On top of that, we know the ex-chairman who guided us through some of the, mm-hmm. the weeds there, and we picked that. GSA got involved in identifying needs in the online gaming industry in 2012, believe it or not. People don't realize that.
Sure.
2012, so early on. And it was mm-hmm. our land-based casino suppliers who identified certain areas that we should be focusing on, and we did.
Right.
It's taken 4 years by the time that we got some of the larger online gaming manufacturers and suppliers on board,
mm-hmm.
meaning the Playtex, as you know, the first
right.
one to join us, and then Microgaming, clearly. Because they saw the need for standardization in
mm-hmm.
this space, and we're just about to, next couple of weeks, release our first product, TPI, which is a third-party game content interface. In other words, the remote gaming servers that
sure.
connect to the platforms.
Right.
Well, if that's in a standard way, you don't
mm-hmm.
have to support multiple ones.
Right.
Right. So it simplifies the whole thing. It
sure.
reduces the stack of the software, et cetera, et cetera. So that is one of the first initiatives that we did.
Okay. So the online gaming space is still very important to really get that in order, that everybody's on the same standard there.
Well yeah, yes. At least, again, that's not yet applicable for the United States.
Right.
Will that change in the future? I absolutely do believe
mm-hmm.
it will. It's only a matter of time,
right.
not if. But in Europe, they were far ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But they had to deal with all these struggles. I mean, don't forget, this is a fast-growing, booming business,
sure,
especially
right.
in Asia.
Right.
And they had to find out the solution by themselves,
mm-hmm.
which led to a patchwork of interfaces, you name it.
Right.
You could perceive that as a competitive advantage for those companies.
Right.
Naturally, you invested all the time and resources.
Sure.
No
right.
argument there.
Yeah.
But you can streamline it significantly, making it simpler, and especially for the platform providers to have easier access to content. So,
right.
yes, we have done that. Are
mm-hmm.
there more interfaces to be done? Absolutely.
Sure,
all
right.
the services like whether it's a payment processing or a geolocation, and all these different services, you know, could potentially be streamlined if the industry desires us to do that.
Sure, right. Well, just being familiar with the New Jersey online gaming, there's, you know, multiple platforms there, and you know, they don't necessarily speak to each other. So that's something, I guess, that GSA would like to address at some point.
Well, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, that's a cost, right? It's a cost to whomever pays those bills. It's either the cost to the person who acquires the technology. Mm-hmm. It's a cost to the people who provides their server, the central server, the platform that offers the games, or maybe less so than the people who have to interface to that.
Right.
So the cost goes all the way down from party to party to party.
Sure.
And you can't avoid that.
Okay. You recently announced an initiative to do the same thing for blockchain. And, you know, forgive me, I don't know anything about blockchain. We actually have an article coming up in our recent issue about it. Explain what your proposal is there.
Well, our proposal is to investigate the impact of the blockchain technology, which essentially is distributed ledger on a chain.
Right.
So we don't talk about crypto technology. We talk about the underlying technology, meaning the distributed ledger, which I think in itself is pretty powerful as it provides full transparency and auditability for regulators, operators, and every party involved. So that's about as much as I understand about it. We were approached during G2E by a member company, or by a non-member company, who said, what is GSA doing in this space? We immediately turned around to some other companies and said, okay, well, what do you think about if we start investigating that to the benefit of the industry? And, and I had incredible positive response from those companies. And our policies dictate that if there are three companies willing to provide resources, put together a charter, a draft charter, mind you, an agenda for the first meeting, then the board will create that committee and to investigate it. And as a result, I had calls from Galaxy Gaming, from AJ Burnett. Nevada is willing to take the lead on that. Malta is already taking the lead on that from a regulatory perspective. So I think this is a very exciting time, and I think we need to get involved in that as an industry. We need to understand it. We need to articulate what does it do for the various stakeholders, and are there areas of standardization? We are not creating standards for the sake of creating standards, but are there areas where we better get involved in?
Right.
How to get on the blockchain, how to get information off the blockchain. I mean, this is the right time to do this. So I think we're trying to lead in that scenario, and hopefully we get some further participation in that committee.
Okay. Do you think there's going to be eventually some sort of incorporation of cryptocurrency standards?
Oh, my God. This is an area where I'm a little bit skeptical. Well, I wouldn't say skeptical. I'm a bit, first of all, uninformed about it.
Right.
I went to Santa Clara a couple of months ago to listen to a cryptocurrency blockchain event, which is pretty prominent. And I was shocked to see the amount of activities and the use of this all over the place.
Right.
I think I reserve, you know, I want to have a bit of a distance because I don't know enough about it.
Yeah.
I have my own ideas about it, but that's not relevant at this point in time.
Well, it seems to me, and again, it's my opinion, that you know, if any kind of part of the gaming industry is going to participate in the cryptocurrency, there has to be total transparency for regulators to feel comfortable with that.
Absolutely. But blockchain provides you that, the ledger, right? Cryptocurrency is just a way to exchange some kind of a monetary value, whether tangible or intangible, depends how you look at it. But so, yes, I mean, it's a two-pronged approach, the way I understand it. And absolutely. So these technologies are out there to provide the full transparencies, and the regulators, I think, should be very happy about that.
Right, great. So where would you like to see GSA going in the next 5 or 6 years?
I think GSA's biggest Achilles heel, I think, is the fact that we are not independent. We don't have trade shows where we can capitalize on. Therefore, we don't have really an independent voice as we sort of depend upon membership contributions. And I'm very grateful for that. We wouldn't have been able to do what we did. We're a fantastic team of people and get where we are to a certain way. I would very much like to see GSA to become more in educational capacity, especially see more operators involved, because if I talk to some of these operators, it's unfortunate that they all face the same problems, but nobody's willing to do something about it. Pass the bucket down, or just simply accept the status quo. And I think, for me, that's unacceptable. You can do something about it. GSA had operators on our board, and you know that very well. And they were very strict, and I think they did a fantastic job trying to lead that. But that was for a very short period of time. So I think that would be a fantastic opportunity. You get the industry domain together. And industry is, for me, is for me suppliers. And operators, but at the same time, also get the policy involved.
Right.
The policy domain are the regulators,
right?
Because this is an educational process. I mean, I don't know what I don't know. These regulators are tasked by the legislator to do a certain thing and write regulations, which mm-hmm. of issues they don't fully understand. Right. And that's perfectly normal.
Sure, right.
But let us an industry work together. So mm-hmm. I'd like to see GSA more in a collaborative role in bringing closer those industry and policy domain people, mm-hmm. which, by the way, we have done in a regulatory committee, which right. is a kind of a isolated from the board and sure. the rest of the group. And mm-hmm. we wanted to do that
right.
to give the regulators a space to have these kind of discussions, mm-hmm. right? So that's the first thing. Secondly, in Europe, we're making some significant headway, and I hope we can do a press release at the next couple of months, where we have some large, prominent regulators in Europe now realizing that GSA could be the glue to identifying a common data set. And I see this as massive. In other words, it's called, for the lack of a better term right now, it's a regulatory reporting. If we as an industry can define a data dictionary for all gaming activities, mm-hmm. everything that appears in that space, esports, online gaming, sure. land-based mm-hmm. gaming, it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. But we can define that
right.
globally. Mm-hmm. We can agree to that globally. There right. shouldn't be an argument about how something is called. Sure, you give
right.
it a name.
Right.
Now, suddenly, the world opens up. Mm-hmm. And I think it's very much akin like the banking industry. Now you can share data.
Right.
Now you have further transparencies. And if you use underlying technologies, mm-hmm. maybe like a blockchain. But more importantly, you can extract the same set of data from one state, from the next state, from the next operator, etc. Mm-hmm. You can start doing collaboration between states for liquidity, for example, in poker, New sure. Jersey, etc. Las Vegas. Or in Delaware, I believe it is, right? Mm-hmm. You can share information. I think this hopefully people start waking up as to the power of simply agreeing on some common, a list of common sets. Mm-hmm. Well, we already took the initiative. Right. We had a meeting at the ISO. Regulators liked it. Mm-hmm. And they see GSA as the glue to actually get the work done.
Sure.
We
right.
do the work,
right,
right? Quietly. But we need their vetting. Mm-hmm. We need their comments like, this doesn't make sense. We want that, and that. And right. then we will do that.
Sure.
So I'm very hopeful that in 5 years from now, GSA could indeed facilitate that and as a piece, offer this to the industry. So right. here it is as a common data set mm-hmm. for you guys to use.
Right. And you need the independence to get the trust of the regulators.
Well, yes, and also to have a power of the voice.
Sure.
Right. Today right. we don't have that.
Okay.
And that is after 20 years for me the most frustrating part. Mm-hmm. I think GSA has been blessed, and I personally have been blessed, not only to work with a fantastic team that I have, and you know the people involved that have been with GSA for 15 sure. plus years,
right.
but also for the more than 2,000 engineers and volunteers who participate in this mm-hmm. organization. These are people who do a full-time job.
Sure, right.
And guess what, Roger? After hours, mm-hmm. they participate in GSA.
Right.
And they mean the best, trying to make a difference. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm very grateful that we were able to mobilize or to inspire right. those engineers and these companies to actually participate. Well, without them, nothing is going to happen.
Sure, great. Well, Peter, we certainly want to spread the word about GSA and continue to do the good work that you started. And congratulations on 20 years. Yeah. I mean, you've been running it for 20 years, and that's a pretty good accomplishment yeah. through a lot of frustrating times, I'm sure.
Yes, it was. But I appreciate it.
Well, good. Thanks for taking the time.
Anytime.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of the GGB Podcast, brought to you by iGamingPlayer.com, the leading affiliate marketing service for land-based and online casinos in North America. To learn more about the gaming industry, visit GGBMagazine.com, or for a weekly update, visit GGBNews.com. Follow us on Twitter at Global Gaming Biz, or on LinkedIn and Facebook at Global Gaming Business Magazine. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week on the Global Gaming Business Podcast.